Hello and welcome to Talking.Golf on Wisconsin.Golf. Talking.Golf is a weekly podcast featuring Gary D'Amato and Rob Hernandez. And now, talking all things golf in Wisconsin, here's Gary and Rob.
And it's a great weekend to talk some golf. Rob Hernandez here along with Gary D'Amato. It is Talking.Golf on Wisconsin.Golf as we come off of a surprisingly busy week for both of us. Tournament golf from Monday through Friday. And, Gary, as we start and work backwards, I kind of think there were a lot of real good feel-good stories all week, but the one that took the cake was the one yesterday down at Meadowbrook Country Club in Racine. Our friend Tom Halla, the Lannan Cannon, gets through to the U.S. Senior Amateur a year removed from a heart scare and ultimately a heart attack on Thanksgiving Eve. But it was really good to see Tom get that one. I think he came close in another qualifier a few weeks ago. Might have been the mid-am. But this was sweet to see for our friend from now from Colgate, Wisconsin. He finds all the Milwaukee suburbs that we can educate people on.
Yeah, it was great to see Tom win. It's funny, Rob. I went out to the 18th green to watch Tom finish, and I was standing there with my arms crossed behind the green. And he had to get up and down for par from about 10 yards in front of the green and did it. He made a four-foot putt for that 68, which was which earned medalist honors in the qualifier. And he's walking off the green. He goes, "Oh, it's you, Gary." He said, "I thought you were some guy from Illinois staring me down trying to play some gamesmanship on me." So he thought I was another guy who had shot a low score and was hoping that Tom would collapse on the last. So it was funny. But, yeah.
That is funny. Well, I'm
really happy. Yeah, but really happy for Tom. You know, he's gone through a lot. As you chronicled with your video of him at the State Am when he talked about his heart attack on the night before Thanksgiving and how he had to be paddled twice. He was without a pulse. It was a bad one. It was the Widowmaker. But interestingly enough, he first felt symptoms at this event, U.S. Senior Amateur Qualifying, 1 year ago at the Oaks, and he kind of ignored the symptoms, and lo and behold, 3 months later, he had the big one.
Yeah, it's funny. A lot of us look at our bodies like, you know, like problems with our TV set or our car. You know, if that knock under the hood will go away. Well, no, it didn't go away, and we're lucky to have Tom with us. And I feel, Gary, that he's kind of he's to me a different golfer. I'm not sure quite how to describe it. You know, he plays a lot of tournament golf every summer, but I think he's playing more with a purpose. He's playing. To me, he seems more relaxed, too. And, I, you know, not that he ever outwardly showed emotion that would show anxiety or, you know, just any bit of uncomfortableness. But, you know, he really seems at ease, and he's playing some of the best golf of his career.
He really is, Rob, and I think you're right about that. I think when you have a, you know, something like that happen to you where you nearly die, I think it, you know, just changed your perspective on a lot of things. And I think Tom's talked about that. And as he told me yesterday after he finished, he said, "I was the most grateful golfer on that course today." So he's grateful just to be able to play golf and to be able to play at a high level is, you know, is icing on the cake.
Yeah, because he's played a bunch, finished tied for 27th at the State Amateur when we saw him at the Legend at Merrill Hills. He played in the four ball championship. He played in the senior match play at Janesville Riverside. And so he's had some good finishes, and I'm sure there's, you know, more coming up for him. I think I saw him in one of the fields for the state open qualifying, maybe coming up. But you know, as it is, I mean, the hard part still is he does have a day job. He's still the longtime club manager at Nagawaki, which also had a qualifier this week for the U.S. Women's Mid Amateur, and so he's a busy guy. I think part of it too is, you know, pace. You know, maybe it wasn't that he necessarily ignored the signs, but, you know, a guy like him, if you're trying to balance at that time of year, if he first felt this a year ago, Gary, and he's trying to balance his competitive schedule with work schedule, you know, health scares kind of get in the way of that. But boy, you know, it's just a real stern reminder to all of us, A, not to overdo it, and B, to, you know, to make sure you check on things that don't seem to be normal when it comes to your body.
Yeah, pay attention to symptoms. Tom said a year ago at that Senior Am qualifier at the Oaks, he He was feeling pain and tightness in his shoulders and upper chest and back. And he said he could barely carry his golf clubs because, as you know, Tom likes to walk and carry. He's done it his whole life. And he said he had a hard time carrying his bag. The pain was so bad, but he ignored the symptoms. And I think he told you, or maybe he told me, he told one of us that, like, within a week, the nag was going to shut down last year around Thanksgiving, and he was going to go to a doctor and get checked out. But unfortunately, he had the big heart attack, you know, before he could do that. So you're right, Rob. Pay attention to those. Any symptom like that that shouldn't be there and you know something's wrong, get it checked.
So Tom Halleck qualifies with a 368, and then David Esler out of St. Charles, Illinois, with a 69, wins a playoff over Greg Selinger of Williams Bay. And then I've got to laugh here. Aidan Walsh of the Republic of Ireland with a 1-under-70 beats Jim Dewey of Verona and Bob Gregorski of Menasha in a playoff for the second alternate spot. It's more or less a formality, but, you know, we were talking before we started the podcast, Gary, in all these qualifiers, we'll talk about the women's mid-am one also in a minute. We're seeing a lot of people come in from a lot of remote places, and I know a lot of it has to do with people's schedules. They want to play in USGA events. They want to play in qualifiers that fit, and so there's people that aren't afraid to hop a plane and bring their clubs along and do that. To me, it just seems like it's more prevalent this year than in past years. What is your take on that?
No, I agree, Rob. You know, I looked at the tee sheet for the U.S. Senior Am qualifier, and there were 43 or 44 entrants, and I'd say a third of them were from out of state, some guys from Iowa, you know, a handful of guys from Illinois. I did not get to speak to Aidan Walsh from Ireland, so I don't know why he was in southeastern Wisconsin playing in the U.S. Senior Amateur qualifier. But, you know, part of it, I think, Rob, as we found out in recent years since COVID, is that when the Illinois guys came up here, they really appreciated how well the WSGA runs these qualifiers and runs its tournaments. And I think we're getting some influx of out-of-state people because of that. You've heard that from other guys too, haven't you?
Absolutely, yeah. And the quality of the courses they play them on are good. And I know that they try to do that everywhere. But, you know, I'm not sure that it's to the degree that we see it here. Now, they played at Meadowbrook. They hosted the Wisconsin State Women's Open earlier this summer. You know, Nagawaki, the women's mid-am qualifying, to me, Gary, is a little bit different. You know, that was Thursday over at the NAG, and they had 11 women playing for two spots. And that's one of the USGA events that just is struggling to get to catch on. And maybe not so much catch on, but it's the demographic of golfer, Gary, that is probably the one that every level struggles to engage in tournament golf because it's women from 25 to 50 and above. And especially in that 25 to 50 range, you know, these are people that have, gone to, college, gotten their degree, started a career, started a family. And whereas, you know, for whatever reason, I guess anecdotally, you and I have seen, you know, men aren't afraid to take, time off to play in these events, although we've seen a number of players that we've talked about on Talking Deck Golf and recently that are doing less of that. If the tournament's Monday through Thursday, they like the ones that are on the weekend as well. But, the women are just, between, the time commitment during the week and, I think, being able to just keep their own game sharp, it's been a struggle. And so, as we jump back a day, the U.S. Mid-Am qualifier, Sarah Busey of Racine, former state player of the year about, 2019, she came back and she shoots an even par 72. It's the first time she's played tournament golf in about a year, Gary, because she's been coaching University of Tennessee at Chattanooga, and so she has not had many opportunities to play this summer, so she came back, played, qualified. And again, the other trend qualified second behind Natalie Granger of Greenwich, Connecticut. And I had to look up information on Natalie, and she's a former professional squash player. And and she's only picked up golf recently and won the New York State Mid-Am this summer. And so those two qualify out of the NAG. And then Emma Groom out of Eden Prairie, Minnesota, came over. and she edged Sarah DeCray, now living out of Madison, but a Racine native who played collegiate golf at Indiana in the playoff for the first alternate. But one of the golfers that we were keeping an eye on was Rebecca Kleinland, and Becky was someone who, you know, won five state AMs in a row through 2018, then went to law school at Marquette, got her degree, has started her career there, and this year played in the women's state AM for the first time. I think she finished top 10, like ninth, and just missed this year by five shots. It was a much steeper curve this year. Last year, three spots they played for, and 82 made it. This year, a 72. So you just never know with these USGA qualifiers.
Well, and back to your point about the small fields and the U.S. women's mid-am qualifying, I'm encouraged when I see stuff come out from the National Golf Foundation that women's golf is the biggest and most rapidly growing segment of golf. It's more and more women are playing the game and hopefully extending their playing after they get out of college, like you say. But it's for some reason, you're right, Rob, for some reason, guys who have the same kind of busy schedules as women seem to play in more events in that mid-AM range. I don't know. I'd like to see the National Golf Foundation do some kind of study on why that is, but I'm encouraged that women's golf is a rapidly growing segment of the golf population, and hopefully that continues and we see it spill over into more competitive events in that age demographic.
Well, it's encouraging that Becky Kleinland and Sarah Busey are continuing to give it a shot, and then, of course, last year we saw Nikki Stricker qualify for the U.S. Senior Women's Amateur, and I know that qualifying is coming up soon. And then, you know, Sarah DeCray is someone who kind of, you know, was away from the game for a little bit. She also is an attorney and now is, you know, not only playing competitively, she also helped start, but she was very active in the, you know, they have the LPGA, the social LPGA sponsored women's chapters throughout the country. And she, you know, was active in the one in Madison. I know there's one in the Appleton Green Bay area. And, you know, I think that is really helped get, you know, some of the women back in socially. And then those that find success where, you know, the game comes back quickly, they're more apt to do it, you know, beyond that. But a lot of it has to do with, you know, a family schedule. And, you know, if you've got kids, Gary, as you know, I mean, somebody's got to take the kids to soccer practice, baseball practice, softball practice, basketball practice, whatever it might be, this camp, that camp. It could be, you know, an academic camp somewhere. It could be a church camp somewhere. There's a lot of things that go on in the summer. The bottom line is, Gary, there just aren't enough days in the summer, especially if you're in Wisconsin trying to do all this.
Yeah. Anecdotally, I played in a family golf outing last weekend, Rob, and at Western Lakes in Pewaukee, and there was a big junior clinic going on, ton of girls, more girls than boys, I think, probably 100 kids there, at least as many girls, and looking up at the parents who were watching their kids, a large majority of them were women. So I love to see that. I love to see that the passion for junior golf and the number of girls that are playing and their mothers who are encouraging them. It's great to see.
Well, and that's a really good segue into, you know, our next, as we work backwards on the calendar, I'll jump back to the Wisconsin State Junior Girls Championship. And, you were at the Mike Bencrisuto Junior Masters, and in both the Junior Championship for girls and the one for boys in Racine, both match play events, you know, we're seeing a changing of the guard here. And what's kind of cool is, you know, this class of 2024 that just graduated, you know, made such a mark for, you know, the last 4 years. A lot of golfers were kind of in the shadows, and two of them played for the title in the women's or in the girls' Junior Championship. Belle Conshog out of Elk Mound, Wisconsin. She plays for the Colfax Elk Mound Co-op and finished won the state title last year in Division II. And Alyssa Helminen, who played the last couple years at Xavier High School in Appleton, is now going to spend the last couple years up at Shattuck St. Mary's, a prep school that prepares kids not only academically for college but also athletically. And it's going to allow her to play a little bit more golf through the winter. And Alyssa won that showdown 5-3. Alyssa got to the final with a 20-hole win over Adeline Johnston out of Green Bay. And Adeline, one of those class of 2024 golfers who's going to go play at the University of Omaha. And then Belle Tomczog knocked off Abigail Henriksen one up. And of course, you know, he told the tale of Abigail winning the state women's amateur last year. So we're seeing a diverse group of young ladies, with Belle Tomczog being in the class of 2026 and Abigail Henriksen 27. That's the next, you know, really deep and big class. And then, you know, Alyssa Hellman in 26. Zoe Grinowitz of Wauwatosa was the qualifying medalist. She's also from the class of 2027. So we're seeing, you know, a lot of, you know, young ladies, you know, kind of emerge, and that'll be the next group. And, you know, we're also starting to see, we're getting close to seeing, I think, Gary, you know, kids of golfers that, you know, we covered early, but also kids of, you know, with, like, for example, the Strickers, with Nikki Stricker, you know, having set such a great example, and now Bobby and Izzy playing. But, you know, Alyssa Helmanen is the daughter of Ryan Helmanen, a longtime teaching pro in the Fox Valley. And, you know, it ages us, Gary, when we see her sitting in one of Ryan's State Open trophies that he won back in 2008. And you, for you and me, that was yesterday. For the Helmanen family, that was light years ago, because Alyssa's all grown up now.
Yeah, that's a very cool photo that we ran with your story, Rob, of Alyssa sitting in Dad's trophy. I watched Alyssa play a little bit at the Women's State Am. I, you know, spent a little time with Ryan coming in there, who was watching his daughter, and she's got a beautiful golf swing. You know, really, really fluid, and I guess the apple doesn't fall from the tree. She's got a great teacher in her father. But, yeah, that's a neat story of father and daughter now winning the tournaments they've won in Wisconsin.
Yeah, and then, you know, we go to your the Junior Masters, which is, you know, first year, I think it was the second year maybe under the with the WPGA help in getting it on their tournament schedule. And Lincoln Hotman wins there. He, you know, wins a marquee showdown over Kian Bystel Flores out of Cambridge in the semifinals. And then knocks off a kid that really is under the radar guy out of Prescott. You know, we've known Prescott for their girls golf program, but the last 2 years because of all the state titles they've won up there. But Tyler Ryder out of Prescott has had a great summer, and he got to the final against Lincoln, and Lincoln pulls away. I think everybody who's seen Lincoln Hotman play out of DeForest, you know, this is a kid who is on a lot of college radars, and just keeps getting better and better. And my God, you know, looking at the photo you ran, you know, with them shaking hands, he continues to grow too, which really strikes me. He's tall and athletic now too.
Yeah, they're both big young men. I mean, Tyler is very powerfully built and hits it a mile, Rob. I mean, I played a lot of golf at Johnson Park growing up, and where he hit his drives, I mean, I couldn't have dreamed of hitting the ball there when I was that age. He was literally 100 yards ahead of where I would have been. But, yeah, Lincoln, both guys played really, really well. The difference was Lincoln's wedge game, it was phenomenal. He had so many darts. The greens were pretty soft at Johnson Park. And anytime he had a wedge in his hands, it seemed like he was hitting it to 5 feet. And Tyler hit the ball great but couldn't get a putt to drop. If he would have putted better, it would have been a different match. He had, you know, a number, probably three or four lip outs and 10 footers that, you know, that he missed, that, you know, just a couple of those drop, it's a different match. But so that the 5-4 victory doesn't really tell us the story, because it was closer than that. If you watched them both as they went about their business, it was hard to tell who was the better player.
Yeah, it's and you know, both, like I said, you know, had to go through a gauntlet of kids in that 16 to 18 division. Tyler Ryder had a knockoff Owen Wagy of Edgerton, and then Easton Hayworth of Janesville just won, I believe, the Janesville City title, maybe the Janesville City Junior title. And then one of Lincoln's Hotman's teammates at DeForest, Caden Zinkel, Tyler beat him 3-2 to get to the semifinals against a kid from Wanakee. Peyton Albers won that one 3-1. And then, of course, you know, Lincoln Hotman, you know, with that, you know, when you see you're on the same side of the bracket, of course, this is all based off of that qualifying score on Monday. And, you know, you see you're on the same side of the bracket as Kian Bystel Flores. And I'm not even sure what was Lincoln Hotman was seeded fifth in that group.
Yeah.
And then Casey Nickel was also in there. Casey got upended by Michael Broker. And then Lincoln Hotman wound up taking out Michael Broecker in the semis. So, I mean, we're really blessed with a deep pool of talent right now in the junior level. And, you know, we keep looking for the next Pearson Hunt or Harrison Ott. And, my goodness, I don't know if, you know, if I were recruiting the state, if I could really project which one of these kids, if, you know, is most likely to come out of it. But we may see another group kind of like the Longbella, Kneiser, Ott, you know, now Pearson Hunt out there, Sam Anderson. You know, we really have an abundance of kids that, you know, might be the next big thing.
Yeah, and, you know, we haven't even talked about the 15 and under division, and Mason Zimmerman from Crystal Lake, who's a member at Strawberry Creek and plays most of his golf in Wisconsin. That was a really impressive victory over Owen Sigel, too. You know, I would guess that at the most, our 15 and under champion, probably Mason Zimmerman, probably stands 5'4".
Yeah.
He's a small kid at this age. One would think and hope that he's going to have a growth spurt at some time. And if that happens, look out, because he already has a ton of game and hits it much farther than you'd think looking at his stature. So there's just so much talent coming up, Rob. You're right.
And Mason is an incoming freshman this fall in Crystal Lake. And he took out Cade Whelan in the semifinals, 4-3. And Cade had reached the semifinals. After a bye, he wins his a match 8-7, and then another match 7-6 after qualifying with a 2-under score. So he was playing some really good golf. And of course, what's really separated Cade Whelan from, you know, a lot of kids his age is his size. And if you would have put Cade Whelan in that photo with Owen Sigel and Mason Zimmerman, you would have had you know, a tree, you know, among two shrubs. I mean, it's not no knock against the two kids that are in the final, but that's, you know, that's what's so cool about junior golf is that the physical changes, in addition, you know, create, you know, changes in the fundamentals of their game. And I'll, you know, never forget, you know, when Spencer Stuckey was going to Tennessee Tech, you know, when I first met him, you know, his sister was playing at Kettle Moraine, and, you know, he was, you know, quite vocal about how good the 24 class would be for boys. And, you know, he was this little guy and, you know, saw him at the U.S. Junior qualifying. And, I mean, he's got to be 6'3", I mean, 6'2" at least. And you just, when that growth spurt hits, Gary, it's hold on to your hat, because a lot of good things are going to happen, but you have to have patience. You've got to adjust to the changes. And you also, I think, have to have a good swing instructor that can help you figure out how to best use the physical attributes that you grow into.
Yeah, a good example of that, Rob, is McKenna Nelson, who, you know, works with Don Duchateau. And I was talking to him earlier this year before the drive, chip, and putt, and Don Duchateau was telling me how many times they've gone through equipment changes with McKenna as she's grown and gotten stronger. I think she's on her maybe fifth or sixth set of irons, and she's only 14, 15 years old. So, yeah, that's a big part of it, is having an instructor who understands what growth does and how it changes your swing, and how, as you get stronger, how you need to change equipment. But back to your point about Mason upsetting Cade Whelan, and Cade was the defending champion in that age division too, in the Ben Cresciuto Junior Masters. So that was a huge upset in my mind.
Yeah, a big one. But you know, these days, you know, these kids play so much golf, Gary, that you know, things can change from one day to the next, one week to the next. And so you just never know. Now these boys are on the eve of the Wisconsin Junior Boys Championship. That'll be contested at Lake Wisconsin Country Club in Prairie du Sac, which to me really sets up for another Lincoln Hotman, Peyton Elbers, Caden Zinkel. I mean, the kids out of that Badger Conference that play Lake Wisconsin against the kids from Prairie du Sac, you know, they're all in that, you know, in that mix there. They're in the field, and you know, and then we'll see if, you know, Kian Bysall Flores and you know, the other kids that Finley Gastro coming back from a U.S. Junior Boys appearance. Will Harned, William Harned out of Neshota also played at the and actually was the National PGA Junior this week that they were playing in. And William got through to the third round, then missed the cut. So, that'll be a good one. Lake Wisconsin, you've played Lake Wisconsin, Gary?
I haven't, never played it, but I covered something there. Maybe it was the U.S. maybe it was the state senior am last year,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been there. Yeah.
It's a unique golf course. That back nine is just jammed in between the road coming in and the river, which is Lake Wisconsin, is the I guess the a part of the Wisconsin River that, you know, forms a lake, and so it's going to be interesting to see how the kids handle that, because it's going to be a combination of patience. It's going to be a lot like Merrill Hills to the, you know, at least off the tee, where you're not going to be hitting driver. You're going to want to give yourself, you know, wedge shots from fairway grass and not be in. I presume they're going to grow the rough. I presume they're going to try to get the greens as fast as they can. And, you know, we saw scores really low last year at the Legend at Bergamot in the first round, and then it got progressively more difficult. But that'll be good, you know, and again, the fact that now so many kids do the match play thing and Racine 1 week, and then next week, you know, they're at their state junior championship is kind of cool. So I'm looking forward to that. And then, of course, the girls have the Sherry Steinhauer, two rounds at Blackhawk Country Club in Madison, and then two rounds – or one round at Nakoma, and then we're almost on the doorstep of the start of the girls' high school season, Gary. The summer has flown by.
Yeah, no kidding, Rob. And, you know, I'm hoping to be able to get over to Lake Wisconsin. I guess the final round is it Wednesday?
Yep.
But as you know, Rob, I've got jury duty, and I've got a call Sunday night to find out if my number is called and I'm in the actual jury pool. So it'll be a day-by-day thing, and I'm hoping against hope that I don't get called to serve on a jury so I can get out there and cover it.
Yeah, no, that would be the coup de grace there, because it's probably one of the – you know, we seem to be in another golden era of junior golf, and especially one with such intrigue since we are seeing that, you know, transition of the 24s out and the next group of guys here for this junior boys championship coming in. So we've got that to look forward to. We've got the state women's scramble is actually Sunday. We're recording Talking.Golf on a Saturday. That's at Wenatchee in Menominee Falls. And then the state par 3 championship is up at the Sandbox at Sand Valley Resort in Nakusa. And the Nelthorpe Cup matches, the Wisconsin PGA against the WSGA. And then it takes us to almost to the state open. We've got U.S. Amateur. I'll be up at that in Chaska, Minnesota. And then a week from now, we'll probably be talking a little bit about how we handicap the best father-daughter, mother-child, and then the big father-son with the two divisions, Gross and Net. They're going to play that at Lithonia. And so it's cool how this, you know, the schedule unfolds here for the, you know, on the WSGA side. Because we have, you know, the big state AM championship in the middle of June, and then, you know, it kind of focuses back to the juniors for a while, and then the father daughter mother son, you know, father daughter combinations, and then we go to the state open, and then we're kind of over that little, you know, peak there in the competitive schedule. So a lot to look forward to there. We should also talk about the fact that we have a state open champion on the women's side from Wisconsin, Paige Hillman out of Hudson. Went into Minnesota, as she often does. She's a rising senior at St. Catharines University and in Minnesota. And she won what turned out to be a shootout for the state women's open championship there. It was supposed to be 36. Rain the first day, pulled them off the course. They never got back on. They had to cancel the round. She came back out, shot a 200 par 70, and won by a shot. Number of gals in the contention fell victim to the 17th hole. She played it early in a round, survived it, and then as part of a 333 on the front nine. We joked, Gary, we've got some people that go, you know, on the western side of the state that go to Minnesota play their golf. We've got people from Minnesota who come here. Hello, JT Johnson. And it was kind of cool. My daughter got to play with Paige back at the Minnesota State Amateur for Women a few years ago when Paige was still at Hudson High School, and she had a great promise, and it's kind of cool to see not only that she won this event, Gary, but she's also interning at a hospital in Minneapolis this summer. She's, I believe, a biology major, but might also have a nursing track. So there's a lot on her plate, and again, it's all about the juggling, isn't it?
It is. It's fascinating. It's really cool that, you know, when you look at all the different pockets of great golf in the state, Milwaukee area, the Madison area, the Green Bay area, the Fox River Valley, sometimes we forget about that western part of the state and Hudson. You know, Tyler Obermueller, two-time yeah. state amateur champion from Hudson. There's a great course over there, Troy Byrne, and a lot of those, you know, guys and girls, you're right, go into Minnesota and play some of their golf. But that's a great pocket of golf. Ryan Quinn comes from that area, our old friend Ryan, a two-time back-to-back state am champion. Little farther south, I guess he would be from. But yeah, cool that so much good golf comes out of that area.
Well, and Paige is playing at a White Eagle Golf Club in Hudson. I'm not familiar with the course, but a number of kids that are they must be affiliated with the Minnesota Golf Association, and then that's how they get into, you know, into those events. Kind of a dual membership. Troy Byrne also the same way, and then there's another guy who's we'll see at the State Open, who's I don't have his last name in front of me because I don't have the results up from qualifying, but he's from Tampa, Florida, and qualified at one of the early qualifiers, and I checked into it. He's helping out at White Eagle because his swing coach moved back to Wisconsin, and he's the director of instruction there. So we've got a number of courses that are developing, you know, junior programs and PGA of America, you know, affiliated staff that, you know, are becoming magnets for people to, you know, at least come back, work on their game. And, you know, this guy's going to, his name is Jacob Dunlop, and out of Tampa, played at Maryville College for 4 years, and then also at one other school on a transfer for a year. But, you know, it's interesting, fascinating. Again, you know, we've become quite a small world in the world of golf, Gary, because we see people coming and going, whether they're caddies who play a lot at Sand Valley and Erin Hills and Whistling Straits, or whether it's just people up here working their game, getting ready for whatever Q school they might be going to.
Yeah, absolutely, Rob. And I can't wait to see the field for our State Open coming up here in a couple of weeks. Very diverse field. It's one of my favorite events of the year. I guess, you know, between the AmFam, the State Amateur, and the State Open, we get to cover some great golf, Rob, and all the junior stuff that we've talked about, you know, on this podcast. We're pretty lucky to be able to cover all these people.
And in the minute we have left, Gary, the other big thing going on this weekend next is the Olympic golf. What's your mm-hmm. opinion of Olympic golf? I haven't watched much of it because it hasn't really been on my TV viewing, you know, cycle this weekend. But I look at the leaderboard and I'm going, God, this could be a major.
It looks like a major, yeah. John Rahm at the top. Hideki Matsuyama was the first-round leader. And they're playing at Le Golf National, which has hosted a Ryder Cup. Rob, I'm with you. I've watched about 3 minutes of the Olympic golf. I caught a little bit of it last night. I just haven't seen enough of it to know what's going on over there.
Xander Schauffele and John Rahm at 14-under, leading by one over Tommy Fleetwood, going into the final round. Nikolai Højgaard and Hideki Matsuyama just three shots back. And then you've got, in a tie for six, Rory McIlroy, Scottie Scheffler, and Tom Kim and Thomas Dietrich. So I think any major would take that leaderboard going into the final round. So I'm going to have to figure out how to DVR it, and I probably won't watch it live, but I'll watch it on delay, and we'll see how that turns out. And then the women take the stage next week, and the Olympics will be done. Gary, appreciate the time this week on Talking Doc Golf. We'll look back at the Olympics and more next week.
All right. Thanks, Rob.
All right, for Gary D'Amato, Rob Hernandez, this has been Talking.Golf on Wisconsin.Golf.